Peter chapter number one, 2 Peter chapter number one. And again, I do appreciate all that God's done in our hearts. And thank God for singing that magnifies the Lord and honors the Lord. And you can find it in His Word. Amen. Too much now that they call Christian music that has very little Christian in it. Hello. Amen. That's right. But I thank God for doctrinally sound music. That's right. Doctrinally sound music, biblical music. Amen. All right. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the first four verses, and I hope you prayed for me. I sure need it this morning, trying to get my mind exactly where we need to get it, my heart today. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, the corruption that's in the world comes through the lust of the flesh, gratifying the flesh. Corruption always comes through the energy of the flesh. When Adam fell, we preached about last week about Noah and his day. Men's flesh got wicked and the world got corrupt. But yet, because of Jesus, we've escaped. I like that. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It had us bound. That word escape means you were bound at one time by it. It had you at one time. This old world, this flesh, the devil, it had us. We were prisoners of Satan. We were prisoners of the world, but Jesus rescued us. He broke us out. Amen. He broke us out. You remember when much prayer was made for Peter? God sent an angel to break him out of prison. There's a picture there of salvation, by the way. Somebody prayed. We were bound in sin. That's right. We were bound in sin. Hey, you say, well, sin didn't have dominion over me. Well, the Bible's a lie then. Now that we're saved, sin doesn't have dominion over us. Before we got saved, sin had dominion over us. In other words, it had the rule over us. Now, because of Jesus, not because we turned over a new leaf, and not because we finally made up our mind we could do better. No, Jesus passed by. Amen. Jesus came. Hey, the blind man could not change his ways. He couldn't change his condition, but he heard Jesus pass by. And when he called on the Lord touched him. Amen. Same thing spiritually. You and I can't get out of the bondage of sin, but only through Christ. Now, I want to preach on great promises this morning, and may the Lord add His blessings. Now, I want to look at the first four verses by way of introduction, and we'll get as far as we can get, and I hope you're praying. Now, the first thing we see in verse number one, we find there's a gift there. And it's a gift, if we continue reading the four verses, it's a gift that keeps on giving in a positive way. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, listen, that have obtained like precious faith. How do we obtain it? With us through what? The righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we obtain salvation this great? How do we get it? Jesus. We obtain like precious faith like Peter. Because Jesus, Peter was running his own life, doing his own thing, and Jesus passed by and said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Boy, I'm glad. Folks, I don't mean to get off on this, but I kind of do. You remember your life before Jesus saved you? Sure you do. And if you're not saved, man, you're missing out. You remember your life before Jesus saved you and the life you had. Now, I'm not saying the life you had before Jesus found you, you was groped in gross sin, but some may have been. Peter wasn't in gross sin. He was just living his life doing what the natural man did. Just lived his life, worked, trying to keep up the family business with no thought of anything else. Get that. Folks, we got a world that's living their life day by day with no thought of anything else. They're going to work. They're paying their bills. They're coming home. They're eating supper. They're with their family. You say, preacher, what's wrong with all that? If you leave the Lord out of the equation, it's all in vain. Get that. If you leave the Lord, Peter was doing that. He was living his life. He's mending his nets. He was trying to make a living. He was trying to make things better for his family. He was trying to live for his family and work hard and do all that he was supposed to do and just living life. But folks, we have no record that he ever thought about Jesus ever. But Jesus thought about him. You remember your life before Jesus found you. That's exactly what we all were doing. We were just living life. We were just living life, doing what we do, but aren't you glad that Jesus passed by? Amen. Jesus enlightened the conscience of Peter. He enlightened the heart of Peter. He said, I want you to follow me. There's a call to salvation. And had Jesus not called Peter to salvation, Peter would have never followed him. You know, those that don't follow Jesus, I wonder if they've ever been called to salvation. Those that rather follow their flesh and follow the good times. And you know, the term now is making memories, and that term in itself is not a bad term. There's nothing wrong with making memories, but if your making of memories eliminates the Lord, then we've missed it. Amen. We've missed the whole point of life. If we live this life just going day by day and having some fun here and having some extracurricular over here and doing that over there, but we never put Christ in it. And if we live like that at the end of our life, people may walk by our casket and they may say they lived their life to the fullest. Good fella, good lady, they lived their life to the fullest. Oh, what a blessing, what a blessing. Not knowing they lived their whole life doing good things but left Jesus out. They left the Lord out of their life. And folks, good people go to the same hell as bad people that reject Jesus. Let that sink in. Well, I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not the other and all that's wonderful, but if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. Oh, I'm honest and I'm this and oh man, I work hard. Oh, that's wonderful, but if you die without Christ, the Lord, Peter said, you've obtained like precious faith with us the same way we got it. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus passed by. But we go from gift in verse number 1 to we go to growth in verse number 2. See, there is a gift in the new birth of Christ, but now that we are saved, there's growth. He said this in verse 2, grace and peace be what? Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Boy, I like that. He wants grace and peace. How does that get multiplied? Not added, but multiplied through growing. It comes through growing in the Lord. Folks, Christians, we talked about those that may not be saved, but what about you that are saved and you know how you obtained that faith and how you obtained salvation through Christ? But what about you growing? What about you? Are you growing in grace? And is it multiplying in your life? It goes from gift to growth. Then it goes to guarantee. And we have a twofold guarantee in verse 3 and 4. He said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So now we have a guarantee. According to his divine, he saved us. According to his divine power, hey, he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In other words, hey, everything we need to be a success as a Christian, we have it in Jesus. Everything that we need to be a success as a Christian, we have it in Christ. He has made us partakers of what? His divine nature. Divine nature means holy nature. Sinless nature. The new man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So he has made us partakers by his divine power to give us everything that pertains to life. And then on top of it all, we've been given exceeding great and precious promises. Folks, we live in a time everything changes rapidly. Folks, everything's changing. Peter is talking to Christians that are scattered everywhere for their faith. That's who he's writing to. He's writing to Jew believers that are scattered because they've been persecuted for the things of God. Everything's are changing in their lives. And Peter's trying to nail it down to them. Hey, things may be changing. The world is getting more vile and corrupt. But God's made you some promises that will not change. He's made you some great and precious promises that will. Hey, folks, this world is changing. Culture's changing. Clothes are changing. I mean, characters are changing all around us. And Christians are changing with it. We don't have to. We don't have to. In the midst of change, Peter calls our attention to the promises of God that neither change nor affect are affected by. Folks, the promises of God don't change, nor are they affected by change. Sometimes our thinking is affected by change, good or bad. Sometimes our thinking is affected by change, good or bad. But you understand, no matter how corrupt the world gets, it does not change the promises of God. It doesn't matter how much people change, it doesn't change the promises of God. It doesn't matter how preachers change, it does not change the promises of God. Are you with me? Why don't we stay focused on what does not change and who does not change? Amen. Glory. Amen. The Lord does not change. Amen. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not, and his promises are not affected by change. Amen. See, folks, one thing about it is, you know, what's going on in the Middle East? Good job, President. I'm going to go ahead and say that and go ahead. Stand with Israel. Amen. Yes, sir. God's people ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. And thank God for a nation at the moment is standing with them. Amen. Those that fight against Israel, they're our enemies. Bomb them. Amen. But everything's changing. I'm off of that. Everybody be all right. Some of y'all getting nervous. You can talk about this, that, the other. He ain't perfect. He's this, but I'm glad he stands with Israel. Amen. That's my vote. Amen. If you stand with Israel, I'll vote for you. Amen. I ain't worried about how much money you put in my pocket. I'm talking about stand for what the Bible says stand for. Amen. Glory. But anyway, the Lord has given us great and precious promises. The promises of God are exceeding great because they speak of great things. His promises talk about faith and righteousness and grace and peace and power, life, godliness, glory, virtue. And those who are partakers of His divine nature are partakers of those promises. We'll notice three or four things about God's promises. And in these things, I want to mention, just running through these, you'll find where it's the word A-L-L, all. About God's promises. Notice, first of all, with me, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, you don't have to turn. All of God's promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Yea and amen in Christ. The Bible says this, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. The promises of God are summed up in Jesus. Amen. All that God has promised is performed in the person of Jesus Christ. All of God's promises are confirmed in Jesus Christ. They have their yea and their amen in Christ. They have their everything in Jesus. In Christ, God says yea. Through Christ, God says amen. All of God's promises, which constitute God's word to man about salvation, are an eternal and final fact in Christ. I read this and I wrote it down. All of God's promises find their fulfillment in Jesus. All of God's promises find their fulfillment in Jesus. Romans 8:32, the Bible says this, He that spared not His own Son. Get this. He that spareth not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. I like it. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. What do you Calvinists do with that? He delivered Him up for us all. For us all. And if He did that, how shall He not with Him, Christ, also freely give us what? All things. Preacher, what do you mean? If God is going to give you Jesus, nothing else better He can give you, then He's going to give you breath. He's going to give you bread. He's going to give you provisions. He's going to give you clothes. He's going to make sure you took care of. Hey, if He gives you Christ, amen. If He's given us Jesus, the best thing, The very best thing. He gave us Jesus. Then why in the world are you worrying about how you're going to make ends meet? If He gave you Jesus, He'll freely give you all things. Amen. Well, He gave me Jesus, but I don't know if He's going to give me power money. Well, He gave me Jesus, but I don't know about groceries. You understand what that sounds like? Doubt. Yeah, crazy doubt. But we get there sometime. Come on. Come on. There's somebody that told me they'd be watching today and need that word. I didn't even have a plan to say it. Hey, He give you Jesus. He's going to give you an automobile if you need one. Come on. That's right. Oh, preacher, I thought we was in a Baptist church. You sounding charismatic. Hey, I'm talking about the promises of God before they ever was created. I am talking about name it and claim it. I'm talking about a God that said, if I'll give you Christ, I'll give you all things. Why in the world do we fret? Well, preacher, I didn't have this need met. Well, if there's a need you didn't get met, it's because you squandered the resource. That's your fault. Let me read that verse again. He that spared not His own Son. Get this. He that spared. For us. For us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us what? All. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything I need for life, everything I need in life, everything I need spiritually, everything I need physically, everything I need. Hey, if he give me Jesus, he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me. The world is changing, but that promise, I don't know how God's going to take care of me. But for 55 years, he's done a pretty good job. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what kind of need I'll have tomorrow. I don't know what the situation will be tomorrow. I don't know what the sickness will be tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Folks, things can happen that quick. I don't know. I mean, simple things. I'll give you an example of my own self. Two Fridays ago, I was trying to mess with a dog out in the woods. See, these dogs get me in trouble. And I was just bent over like this and just done a number like this. Pull my hamstring up. My whole back of my leg is black and purple. Still. I can't kick with that high now. It's getting better. The dumb dog trots off out of the woods like crazy. Thomas has to about tote me out of there. That quick. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You say, preacher, I can tell you this. He sure has supplied my needs this far. I promise you, if he supplied your needs this far, he'll supply your needs the rest of the way. Amen. His promises are yea and amen in Christ. Let me hurry. Now we see that, but in Hebrews 10, 23, we see not only all are yea and amen in Christ, but all are kept. The Bible says this in Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I like that. He is faithful. Hey, our promises depend on God's character. See, basically, we live in a day when men don't say what they mean, don't mean what they say. Man keeps his word only as it is convenient or profitable for him. Here's what Paul said about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. In 1 Kings, let me read some scripture to you. In 1 Kings chapter number 8, in 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse number 56, the Bible says this, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all of his good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Boy, that's good. Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter number 23, verse number 19, the Bible says this, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Boy, I like it. D.L. Moody said this, every promise of God is built on four pillars. Get it? Every promise of God is built on four pillars, his justice or his holiness. That won't allow God to deceive us. Number two, his grace and his goodness, that won't allow him to forget us. His truth won't allow him to change. His power, which makes him able to accomplish what he promised. Get that. Whew. Every promise of God has been on four pillars. His justice and holiness. He can't deceive us. His grace and goodness, He can't forget us. His truth, He will not change. His power, He can do it. There's no need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far, Jesus hath brought me. There's no need to doubt Him now. Praise the Lord. All of His promises are yea and amen in Christ. They all are kept. They all are kept. Folks, there's something that will not happen at the judgment seat of Christ. God will not be questioned. At the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, when God's people stand there being judged for their works and to receive reward or not, nobody will look at God and say, you know, all them promises you made me, there's three of them you didn't keep. Lord, I tell you, you got a 99 on your report card. You failed in one area. I know you promised me all these things, you got them all but one. Nobody. Now we're going to stand there and talk about and how, hang our heads low because of all the promises we didn't keep. And all the times we dropped the ball. And all the times with the promises God's given us and what He's doing for us, we still disobeyed Him. And we still failed Him. With all the provisions God made, He promised us provisions, not only physically but spiritually, and all the things He's done for us and all the things He's enabled us to do, and the Holy Ghost of God that lives within us and the Word of God that helps us, and all the times we failed Him, we're going to hang our head. We ain't going to say, Lord, you might as well go ahead and give me a crown because you didn't make 100 either. Oh, yeah, He made one. He's always made one. He has never failed. He's always prevailed. No need to doubt Him now. Preacher, I'm praying for God to do this in my life. God's getting me a word on it. Keep trusting it. Sometimes it seems like God's train runs slow, but it's running. It's running. All of God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. All are kept. Then notice this. They're all we need. Look at the text in verse number 3 again, please. According as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All I need for salvation, He's provided it. All I need for shelter, He's provided it. All I need for strength, He's provided. All I need for service, He's provided. All I need in sorrow, He's provided. All I need during the shadow of death, He's provided. He's provided. And He promised me He would. He's promised me He'd provide it all. Exceeding. Boy, I had this written down somewhere and it left my mind. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. Exceeding great and precious. The word Peter used here is a super, I can't say it. It means that the promise that God's made us, or the promises God's made us, is better than any promise anybody else has ever made us. A superlative. That's what it is. A superlative. Exceeding great and precious. You know what He said? Nobody can match my promises. They're bigger and they're better than any promise a man's ever made you. Hey, Christian, God's made us some promises. Why don't you rest in them? Why don't you rest in God's promises? Why don't you enjoy God's promises? If you're unsaved, God made you a promise. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The promise of eternal life is in Christ Jesus, and God promised if you turn to Jesus and let Him save you, He'd save you and give you eternal life. He said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise cast them out. All that come to me, I'll in no wise, no, under no circumstances will I cast them out. I'll save them. You don't have to leave here on your way to hell. You can leave here on your way to heaven. Because God's made promises of that. He's made promises of that. Why don't you allow Him to save you? I've used this crazy illustration before. It's when people actually like to go to Walmart. Preacher, I still like to go to Walmart. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to change Walmart for us men and use Academy or Bass Pro Shop or the Ford dealership. If somebody called you and it's legit and said, you have just been chosen out of nowhere, you've not signed nothing, you didn't gamble for it, it's just boom, out of nowhere, you just won a $10,000 shopping spree at whatever store you like. You women, some hairspray store or something. My mindset's in the 80s. Women, they don't even use hairspray anymore. Yeah, one of them stores. The Ford dealership for your husband, always whatever. But all you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is turn and get it. Now, if you got that call yesterday, we ain't going to say today because we don't want you to miss church tonight to go get it. But if you got that call today or yesterday, you'd trip over everybody in your family. You'd make sure you turn from where you were and turn, you'd go get that. You have to be the one to take it. You can't send your wife to get it for you. You can't send your husband to get it for you. You have to receive it yourself. And if on the other line, after proving authentic, you said, I don't want that, hang the phone up, you're crazy. None of us would do that. We'd run as hard as we could to get there to get a temporal gift. Something that's going to lose its value, that's going to corrupt, that we're going to end up forgetting about. But the God of heaven has offered eternal life through His Son, Jesus. Amen. He's offered eternal life through Christ. And you have an open invitation for that. And the Spirit of God has called you up in your heart and told you you need Jesus. And He'd love to save you. And then time after time you say, I don't want that. Folks, that's foolish. When He promised if you'd call on Him, He'd save you and give you eternal life. Christ said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, I give unto them. Folks, the Lord gave me eternal life. I'm saved. I'm secured. I'm sealed. I'm set. I'm satisfied. I'm sure. Because of a promise God made through His Son. Why don't you accept that? The promise is for you too. The promise is for you too. Why don't you accept that? I can't accept it for you. I can't accept it for you. But you can come and get it for yourself. Christians, you know all about receiving that gift. You know you're saved. Trust God with the rest of the promises He's given you. God help us. Let's all stand. Come on. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and so no one's looking on but me and the Lord. Folks are coming to the altar. I don't know what your needs may be. Folks are coming.